Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to Woo Product Chat. They do the Woo Podcast Show. Woo!
Woo! Welcome to another episode of Do the Woo. I'm your co-host, Jonathan Wold, and with me today is your other co-host, Tammy Lister. Tammy, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am well, and it sounds like it's raining there more than
it
is over.
It is. It is raining hard. It's an autumnal evening. It's dusk. It's that gray rain. And it is, the leaves are all, actually, I love the color of the leaves. In England, you get all these different colors. How about you?
Well, that also means that it's time for more tea and colder weather drinks, right?
It is. It's definitely time for tea. It's time for chai. I had my first chai of the season at the weekend. So it's definitely that time of the year.
I had a cider that had cinnamon and caramel in it, which was quite, I hadn't had tried that before. I said,
this is the thing, your ciders are not alcoholic, are they?
They're not, not by default. You can get them with alcohol, yeah. But by default, they're just apple cider. So they had something new at WordCamp US this year, and they called it Showcase Day. And for those who didn't make it out this year, how would you describe what Showcase Day was about, Tammy, or what the intention was?
So I'm not sure what the intention of the organizers was, but the intention that I got from it was to show everything awesome that was getting done in all the different ways with WordPress. How about you?
So I've been going to WordCamps for some time, and what I noticed about myself, because like, so for me, if I'm going to a WordCamp, I'm going there primarily to connect with people, to have conversations, to catch up. And occasionally I'll go to a talk that's especially interesting to me, and if I want to like show support to someone. In the case of Showcase Day, I found myself genuinely like interested in like, oh, I personally want to see that. And it's not that I don't find the other talks interesting. They're just generally not focused on my interests or whatever it might be. Whereas with Showcase Day, I found myself like, oh, this is interesting. Oh, this is interesting. I'm facing something I hadn't faced in a long time, which is how do I choose?
Yeah, that's the thing. And one of the things that struck me is back, like if I was kind of pitching something from an agency perspective, always one of the questions would be, so how do you do that? What are the examples of WordPress? How is this built? Well, people were getting both to show that, but also people were getting to be able to see that as well. So that's something that kind of those demos, and it wasn't just agency sites. It was also products we're getting to demonstrate as well. So it was the full, it's, I just really hope we can get into kind of discussing it a little bit more, but I just really hope that more WordCamps, probably the flagships, but I hope that it becomes a normal practice of it. And it was, it's important to say it was a whole day and it was a proper, I think it's three tracks. Is that correct?
Yeah, there were three different tracks running. There's a few things that I noticed were different about it because it's not like the length is about the same of a typical talk. But at least in my experience, watching the speakers, there was more freedom, it felt, to like talk about what they were doing. And it wasn't a pitch. There's just something, I think there's just this extra level of like an apprehension. I don't know what it is about just a typical talk where we're like, we're so careful. We don't want it to be commercial. We're trying to keep those lines clean. And with Showcase Day, I didn't pick up anything that wasn't like felt commercial in its thrust, but something about just being able to talk freely about what you've done. I saw something different in the talks than what I've typically seen. And what it actually reminded me of, back in my agency days, I remember going to, we were part of the WordPress VIP, like featured partners program, and they'd have these small events now and then, and there would be like lightning talks. And it was like a little showcase, like a show and tell. What have you worked on? And I remember some of our team did a lightning talk showing off something that they built, and another team did that, showing off something they built. And that led to this, oh, wow, we should talk about this.
Yeah.
We should. Yeah. There's an opportunity to collaborate here. And that just, you just might not have seen otherwise if you hadn't had a chance to show what you'd made.
Yeah. You know, he was saying that one of the things it reminded me of was early meetups. The whole point about them, you'd have a meetup in your area, you'd go to the meetup and people would show you what you could actually do with WordPress. That was it, right? We're like, ah, oh, this cool thing, I can do this, or this thing with Kubrick, or this thing with whatever, I can do this because someone showed me how to do it. you otherwise, how are you going to learn it? At the moment, it's like I go on the site, I search it, or I maybe find a blog post or whatever. It's very protracted, or quite like you stumble upon it or you find it. The other thing that struck me about this, there was that kind of grassroots kind of finding, but there also was just the sheer quality and the level, both from the people presenting through and some incredible products. It really showed there's such a healthy ecosystem, through to just some massive sites being produced and complexities as well. So anyone who's having an argument about you can't do complexities of WordPress, really just kind of go and see some of those examples.
I found it inspiring, like saying, oh wow, this is what people are doing. And there's also something I suspect about knowing that you're in a showcase, at least for some of them, where there was like a building up to it, like trying to get as much done. So we got to see like polished, carefully prepared things that I found inspiring. And at least in my observations of the conversations happening afterwards, that carried through. People were talking to each other about what they'd showcased. And it was a great energy. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I would be curious to know, because one of the kind of criticisms, but kind of comments has recently been, what is the worth of WordCamps for people? And one of the things, particularly like from the sponsor, it's difficult, right? But I'm really curious. And I actually, my hypothesis is that speaking at that, not only are you really contributing back by having a demonstration, but you're also helping your product and also helping your agency as well. So I actually am really kind of curious to see that. Progressing from there, that the conversations that have happened. Going back to what you said before about people not being boastful or not kind of I've done those talks before where I feel that I've got to be so careful about what I say, and then I'm overly careful about what I say. When you're just talking about a case study on something, or you're just talking about that thing,
there's a freedom there. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're also not going to be, when you're watching to not do something, you generally over not do something, and you miss even showing the great thing, that the whole point of doing that. You know, if you're doing a site about Disney, say it's Disney, right? Or if you're doing a product about AI, say it's about AI, all those kind of things. You'll miss the point because you're trying to be so gentle, or you're trying not to say it's a paid product, or all those kind of things. But because it was a showcase day, it was like, no, everything here is a demonstration, or it's like showcasing everything. So everyone was there, and it did feel separate. It didn't feel like so separate that no one was turning up to it either.
They were pretty packed, at least some of the ones I attended.
Yeah. I actually felt that it was more packed than I've seen some of the contribution days as well. The contribution day was less, and then some of the talks seemed less. So it seemed like the day that people really, really wanted to be.
Yeah. So contribution day, you were involved this year. And for those who haven't been to a contributor day before, what was this year like?
Yeah, so flagship contributor days are very different from smaller WordCamp contributor days. And flagship, it's like a choose your own adventure. You get to see every single team, and some teams you didn't even know were going to be teams. And you can move around and contribute to them. That's the too long, don't read.
So I really like contributor day. I find that I get easily distracted by what feels like a big reunion. Yeah. Of seeing people that I haven't seen in a while. Like, that's, oh, hey, it's so good to see
that's
you
part
again.
Of it.
So I find myself going from table to table, and like one WordCamp to the next will vary. Sometimes I'll be a lot more productive than others. But for me, there's just something energizing about just reconnecting with people that you haven't seen in some time. And I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so there's always a thing as a core committer that you have to commit code at a contribution day. Like, that's part of what you're there for. So that's like one of their like tasks I have. But also, I think that's part of it. What you're saying is the connections. We are all incredibly good at remote work, and some people will never get to go to a contribution day. That's also worth recognizing.
Yes.
But their contributions are just as important. You know, every person that's there, there's 20 people that are never going to be at a contribution day. That's something to kind of recognize. But when you're there, taking advantage of those, the little breakout conversations, the breakout topics, and then reporting them back to the people who aren't in the room, that's also the really important thing of contribution days. So
that's an important part of doing async well, is ensuring that the people who aren't there at the moment can participate. And I think that's something that I think for the most part, we actually do quite well in the space. There's a lot of like the scene of meeting happening and Slack being updated at the same time and notes being put in place.
We even had, like, there was a casual little core group, and then someone, Jonathan, took notes and then posted them. Did not expect that. But those kind of, like, it's a habit, it's a behavior of just like, at the moment, a certain over a number of people have talk about a topic, document it, right? Like but that kind of pace is really, really important, because you don't know who's going to be solving the problem, and they're probably not in the room. Who's going to be able to solve that problem?
So you and I have had the experience of also working with quite a few folks who are new to contribution and being able to, like, meet with them before WordCamp, be a help to them during it, talk about it afterwards. And the showcase day for me in particular, and you referenced this just a bit earlier, it is a form of contribution. Like when I go into it, like I'm looking and seeing like what people have had the energy and effort, a lot of which is like extra effort, right? To like, they really want to bring the best. People were also sharing things like, hey, here's the code, here's what I worked on. And it's interesting, like, how do you, Tammy, think about the what I'll describe as the ripple effects of those types of contributions?
Yeah, it's interesting you say like the ripple effects. I think one of the things, a smaller thing maybe from showcase day and different things like that, is people are both pushing things, and also there may be how many bugs were reported or how many bugs were documented because someone was getting ready for their presentation and they found a bug in core. It's a small thing, but that's kind of cool, right? Or how many people are like, well, now I can experiment with something. And there were core things, and I don't just mean the core team, but core product things, which people were demonstrating as well, which I also think is incredibly important, because you can say, hey, this new thing over here, and it's like, great, what do you do with this thing that you're just using a word? Until you demonstrate it and sit down, then that's part of it. It's really, really important to just give people space with things, but contribution is a two-way street, and it's really about what do you want to get out of contribution as much as what are you going to give with contribution. I do think that there's that. And you mentioned about contribution days. I don't think the contribution days are useful for everybody. When you were going in, you were saying like it's overwhelming for some people, so their contribution may be in other areas. It may be async, it may be different ways, and that's one of the kind of good possibilities we have all these different ways that you can contribute and you can join in.
So this is something I've been wrestling with for some time, because people contribute for any number of different reasons, and it can be a very personal, like, how you choose to contribute can be a very personal thing. I guess, how do we think about what, like, counts as contribution in the space? Because this is a question that will come up a lot, right? Because there's people who, like, hey, committing code is an obvious contribution that's measurable. We also know that there's a lot more to it than that. And I think what, at least I've found, and I'm curious what you think, is that this can be pretty daunting for folks who are new to the space. They say, hey, I want to contribute. And the question is, what can I do to help? Especially, and because for many people, committing code, like getting to that is both daunting at best and not practical or realistic. And that can lead people, at least in my experience, to feeling like that they don't have much to offer. How do you think about that?
So I think going back to my point of two-way street, and it's really, what do you have to give to contribution, and what does contribution have to give to you? It's a kind of an interesting way to think about it. If you are completely time poor, because I'm going to maybe give some kind of examples, right? You are just doing your startup, you're completely time poor, but your startup is based on WordPress. You do want to give back to the project. You do have some funds to do it. You probably want to do sponsored contribution. You want to sponsor someone. That's what you want to do. That is a form of contribution, but that's what you're doing. You're gaining from the project to build it, but you're also giving back to the project. So that's one of the ways that I see it, a little bit like the lights on with it, but also,
as in your lights need to be on first, or what do you mean?
Yeah, the lights, you want to keep the lights on in the building that you want to work in, right?
Yes. Like, I see what you're saying. Yes, right? Yes. Like if we don't, like, we need to make sure that this thing that we're like relying on and building continues to have its own lights on.
Yeah, it's also, that doesn't mean that you need to turn up and do whatever if you do not have the time, if you just have a newborn baby and you do not know how to code and you do not know this. But also, you may have other ways that you can contribute, maybe by pushing the boundaries of WordPress and then bringing that demonstration and then doing lots of bug reports could be a contribution. What, there is no easy answer in any of this. And I think one of the easy answers is generally, here are the badges, here are the teams, right? I don't think that's necessarily so easy for people, because that then leads them to their own journey. And their own journey may be one of the ways, but one of the ways may be to sponsor people, because they may not be time rich. They may not have time to do that. They may be building up their own business. You know, we can talk a lot about products. And if you're doing your own products, to then take time out when you're already learning, you're already balancing your account books. I mean, we're taking a bit of an angle, but that's kind of the product owner's problem, right? And the owner's problem, you do not necessarily have any time to then put back into contribution of what you may be gaining as well. And that's something to think about. How do you do it? But also, the people that you're working with or the things that you're building may be worth incredible amounts to the project. So maybe donating those and sponsoring those back, bringing those back to the project is really important as well. So maybe there's a way that you've figured something out that's super performant that you could do as a patch, or maybe there's a plugin that you could donate back. All those kind of ways, there's so many. I wanted to just say a little bit about you. You mentioned about code. It's really hard for us when we start talking about one contribution is not worth more than another contribution, or when one area, like in all the year, and it's been, both of us have been so many years in this project, sometimes we've had more contributions in code. Sometimes we've had no contributions in design. And I'd be like, hey, anyone want to do design? Maybe. Sometimes we've had no contributions in community. And anytime we shout about contributions in area, everyone runs to that area. It's a bit like a ship, right? Everyone runs to the area of the ship, and then that end of that ship uptips a bit because everyone's, that's not how to do it. What we want is a balanced project with balanced contributions, not fires, but need tending the most. If you think of a beautiful garden that we're trying to grow, you want to seasonally grow that garden in the way that you want to grow. I'm full of metaphors. Maybe it's the season, but
you know, I have an idea that's been percolating for some time. So I'm grateful for everyone who contributes from a place of altruism. I think that's great. I don't think that's necessary. And I think a good example of this, at least in my mind, is the work that Google has been investing into the project over the past couple of years. They have the core performance team. There's a number of full-time contributors. And when they first sort of came into the space, there was like skepticism that people were expressing, like, hey, why is Google going to get involved in the project? I know the contributors personally, they're fantastic people who have been in the project. They have a lot of context for it. With Google, though, to me, it's actually quite simple. They have an aligned interest in WordPress being successful because they want an open web that can be indexed. They also have ad products that rely on there being a web that's not just closed, proprietary, locked down. So it's easy to see their aligned interest. And that, to me, that doesn't minimize just the sheer objective value of it. When we're talking with people who are looking at the space, though, I suspect that if we shifted, it's not that there's an explicit, like, let me put it this way. I think sometimes there's the subtext that altruism is what's needed. And when I look at it, because of this idea of open source and shared ownership, I think people also recognize, and perhaps just need to be encouraged with how to apply it practically, that when I contribute to the project, I'm actually making it better for myself as well. And that's something that I'd love to hear your thoughts of more. And my thinking is that if the narrative could be shifted to more of like finding the aligned interest, then it might be easier. And I see some companies like Google who figured that out themselves and are now having a meaningful, positive impact on the project in a way that's not, at least from my perspective, rooted in altruism. What do you think?
I think if a company is hiring people that are doing good work, and Google is a good example, as you're sharing, who are doing work, and it is also gaining. Google gained from WordPress. They are sponsoring people. It's part of it. But the altruistic, you can feel you are altruistic, but who is gaining from you? And I think that's also kind of always the interesting thing to think about, right? Yeah. It's really hard. Like, I've been in open source before. I was in WordPress. I was in Linux or whatever. And like, part of my core, and I wrestle with this, but it's so hard. Like, I saw you pause and I'm like, I'm pausing with you, right? It's so hard because if I didn't have to like put my lights on, live, all those kind of things, and like the reality of life, yeah, I would want to donate all the hours in the world and do all the things for free. But turns out I actually need to live. I actually need to, like we all do. People have families. People have life that they need to do. People have bills that they need to do. People actually have projects that they want to build that will further this project, will further WordPress. And turns out that actually open source earning money for people, it's not a bad thing. As long as you are also putting back into it, but because you're putting back into yourself. And that's something that I came to quite difficult. I always thought that I could, you know, it was quite hard for me personally to be sponsored. It was quite hard for me personally to kind of take those approaches. I still think that you've also got to recognize what your personal, for me, I've gained all throughout the years so much. There is a debt there. Think I'm paying off that debt in some ways, right? But I was full-time sponsored for a while. So you have to kind of balance that. But that goes back to, and this has always been said in the project, to your own self. You know, you're saying how many hours you do, you're saying your own self. So guide yourself. If you are good with what you're doing, then you're good with what you're doing. And I think we need to be a little bit less, you know, if someone really needs help to be part of the project and they're really useful, that's way better to help them than to see them leave the project. You know, that kind of approach better, but we also don't need to put money in all areas. We don't need to, we can't sponsor everybody today. But what we can do is slowly build an ecosystem that recognizes this stuff takes work, right? It's not magic fairies that come in and do work. You know, we all don't have TARDISes and time machines and magic things and all those kind of things and ability time turners and all those English time traveling devices.
So when one of the things that I've generally found helpful, especially when talking to companies who come into the space, is one, focusing on this idea that altruism is not, because sometimes, I don't know about you, Tammy, but sometimes I see companies coming in trying to figure out what they're supposed to say. And because they see the size of the WordPress ecosystem, they want to serve their existing customers and acquire new customers in the space. And they have the sense that, okay, I need to contribute. I want to be accepted in this space. And I see them almost like tiptoeing. And I find it helpful to say, hey, there's two factors that are top of mind for me. First is that a company should be able to recognize, should be able to identify aligned incentives. They should be able to be clear that this isn't a charity set aside. There can certainly be aspects of that. And I am grateful for those who do that.
Yeah. And that's the foundation. If they want to do a donation, donate
yes,
to the foundation. There,
you 100%. Can put money in the foundation. Yeah. The other aspect of it. So there's first like what your motivations are. It's like, I want companies to see, and because I think with individuals, it's more straightforward, right? But I think with companies is where this can get tricky, is see that your incentives can be aligned with this from a, how does this impact your bottom line? But the other side of it is encouraging companies to play to their strengths. Because for instance, I think a classic example of this is, let's say you're a hosting company in the WordPress space. Your assumption might be that you need to go to the hosting team and get involved there. And that could be great. But maybe that's not where your strengths lie. And maybe maybe there's other parts of the project that are more interesting. And I think that's something that I've noticed. What your experience been? How do you think about that?
Yeah, so I always have that similar conversation that I always have. I have, okay, what do you have in-house? So one of the things always is, who can I sponsor? That seems like the top question always gets asked.
Right, that's kind of a go-to. Like,
okay, that's one thing you can do and it's amazing. And as someone that takes sponsorship, you're awesome. Great, thank you for that. But have you thought of other options? And then I list them and I'm like, what you could do is you could take all the awesome things you're already doing. Are any of those going to be incredible for the project? Or is there something happening in the project that you could be involved in, could help with learning, could then be brought back to your company. That is generally something they're not even thinking about. So data views is my favorite pet, one of the things I love and adore, and I keep on going on back because it's one of my favorite things in WordPress at the moment, apart from the design system. But things like that, for hosting company, learning about that for dashboards, oh my goodness, right? Different things like that. Or for the design system for product maker, going in, helping with that, helping with the documentation. As you say, the team that you are in the product area actually generally is not the one. Plugin one's a good one. Amazing. We just got to zero. You're doing a plugin. I don't want to say don't go to the plugin team, but there are so many teams you could go that do not have attention at the moment, that are parts of the garden. I'm going to go with that metaphor. I never know if it's a metaphor or simile, so please correct me.
I'm not sure either.
I think it's like or something like that. as a like or something. But there's parts of the garden that aren't being tended correctly or that are just withering because people are going into the areas which are just like, oh my goodness. And they did. They totally were dying and they totally did need help, right? Yeah.
So when I'm talking about WordCamp to someone who's never been to a WordCamp, one of the illustrations that I like to, or I like to try and set their expectations. And I say, well, first off, it's run by volunteers. And the way that I describe that is that there's going to be some parts of this WordCamp that are going to be better than anything that you've seen at other conferences, and other parts that are not going to be. And because and then when people see like the price of the ticket, they're surprised at how low it is. Like there's a number of things that are quite unique. And to me, the reason why that's the case is it's like who shows up to help with that particular WordCamp. And what typically happens is that you will see the passion and the skills of those who showed up bear out. And some things will be done really well. Others will be the best that they could be given the limited resources that were available. And I think when I think about our project, I see it as an example, a metaphor perhaps of our project as a whole. And what you need to run a successful WordCamp are a lot of volunteers. And on the whole, when they each play to their individual strengths, you get something incredible that comes out of it. And I think the same thing applies in our ecosystem. You need a wide range of skills and abilities. And if a company comes in, finds an aligned interest, and just does the thing that they're already enjoying doing and they're good at, and to your point, a plugin, being part of the plugin review team is probably not the play for most people. But like, what's your product focused on? What's the thing that you're doing? Maybe that's what you can bring.
And what's on your roadmap is also something to think about. Like, where are you going? What do you want to learn as skills? If we had to learn JavaScript briefly, well, that actually saw quite a few people come to Core to learn JavaScript. That is incredible, right? What's the next thing that you need to come to Core to learn? I think we've forgotten a little bit. That's how most of us learn how to do what we do. I did, right? By coming to Core, contributing. And that's how so that's actually a really, really powerful part of contribution. Something to play to your events. Companies, particularly the bigger companies, they're incredible at events. They're incredible at organizing. Bringing some of those skills into these really helps because they can then bring those skills. But also the showcase day, that's something that I haven't necessarily seen at other events. So then taking that to other open source events, I would love to see that, you know, take to different conferences and different things. So I think it goes like different spaces and how can one of your contributions might be, you know, the TV team's kicking off again. Maybe you start doing demos. Maybe you really want to start producing content. You know, there was a YouTube meeting of YouTubers and all of those kind of things. Like how can you start creating content? There's so many different ways now, and those ways are adapting with the ways that companies have to adapt with the market because they have to be adapt. You know, they have to use these TikTok-y things, and they have to do the social medias and all those kind of things that the project needs to learn.
So, as we're working towards wrapping this up, I've got two things for us to see if we can get something helpful to folks who are listening: the benefits and where to start. So, I'm arguing that altruism, just like feeling good, isn't the only, like, it's a great benefit, but it's not the only benefit. And for a company trying to make a decision about whether or not to invest in the project, I'd argue that there's a lot of other benefits that align with what's good for the company. What are your thoughts? What are some of the benefits that a company could get out of contributing? And then we'll talk about ways that they can contribute.
I'd go with just look at what your roadmap is. What do you need? Where are you going to other conferences? Where are you going to other learning resources? Can you learn that by doing in the project? Reiterate kind of like my point earlier, like, because honestly, I suspect if you're in the WordPress ecosystem, you can learn those by doing them in the project. Or where are the different markets so you could do that within the project? And that is going to be incredibly powerful for you. And also, who can you partner with? Who is already working? Now, if you are a WordPress company, but you're not necessarily going to do through a growth period, going for a stability period, that's going to be a different conversation. So I would look at, okay, what skills do you have? What skills do you want to level up? That would be one of those things as well. But it's looking at like, what do you have in-house? What do you need to bring in-house? All those kind of things as well. So your roadmap is, I am the product person, and your roadmap is where I always bring you to. Like, look at your roadmap and then look at like that and have a contribution roadmap, I would say, as a company is essential for you as well.
I like that you brought up the point of practice, because that is a big part of it, right? Like, there's a lot of people who, like I know personally, got their start in speaking, in leadership skill development, like volunteering at a meetup and then a WordCamp. Like there's a whole series of things. So as you're looking as a company and as teams, there are a lot of things that you can do to, and one of the things that you've helped me learn over the years, Tammy, is thinking about hybrid roles, because sometimes people will be like, okay, we need to have like a full-time contributor. And yeah. One of the things that I've seen is that there's actually, that's great. Really grateful for the people who are full-time. And there are certain roles and focuses where I think you really need that. And there's a lot of value in people who are mixing, where they're doing like working for clients, working for customers, like working on products and also working the project and bringing those two things together. And they both benefit, like both parts of their work benefit from it.
I'm going to plus one that, because there's so many areas of this project. Like when going back in time with Gutenberg, hearing the voices of people that worked in areas that I didn't know. I was a full-time contributor. I didn't know about big agency sites. I could listen. I could experience by proxy through people. And since I left and I've not been a full-time contributor, I have felt that, right? And there is something about being able to feel that and know that, like in my bones, and experience that. And I carry that with me now. And I carry that with me in a way that a full-time contributor isn't. That doesn't make them any less. That just means their experience is different. I also carry the experience of a full-time contributor, and they do, that someone who is maybe only in an agency space will never have. So by everyone coming together and listening and sharing that experience, but you may have experience of high security risk banking is a good example, or something like that. And being able to go and contribute onto the performance team or security team with those perspectives is incredible, right? So those kind of things.
I remember when some listeners may know the name Jeff Paul. He's been involved in the project for some time. And I remember when he started first getting involved and brought like his project management thinking. And was part of...
It's like someone trying to project manage us. What's
And it turns out we found a lot of value in that.
We really needed it.
So there's so many different ways. So Tammy, if someone's feeling inspired, they're like, okay, I can find ways that contribution can align with things that benefit me personally, professionally, corporately, where should they start?
I hate to be a broken record, but start with your roadmap. Look at like, where are your plans? What time do you have? If you do not have any time, then look at sponsoring someone. That's your answer. Sponsoring and donating. There are groups that can kind of collect things, but also like donating. That's probably not what we're talking about here, though. What we're probably talking about is having people that want to kind of look at where are they going and how they want to do. And then finding the teams that are working in the areas that you want to go in. And then there are weekly meetings. That's step one. Attend to the weekly meetings. Most, not all teams have team reps.
And for those who don't know, where do you go to find the teams? What are these teams?
make.wordpress.org. I felt like that was a pop quiz. There is actually a new contributors quiz there, but that's very individual. And I think as a company, you'll probably have a few areas. The other is pledge for your company. Put your organization down there. Once you are like, hey, we want to do this, shout about it. I also, the other thing I'm going to say just as a quick one, every month, say what your company's doing. Be clear. And as an individual, say what you're sponsoring and what you're doing, like your own time and what you're doing, because more people should be saying what they're doing in core and sharing what they're doing. There's a few people that are sponsored that do it, and I think that that's great. And I would love to see what more companies are doing as well.
One of my encouragements, you mentioned the teams. By my last check, I believe there's 22 teams at the moment.
Oh, I do not count. Yeah.
there's a lot of range there. And I think just going through and reading about those teams, you'll find valuable and interesting. And that might spark like, oh, wow, this is something that I would enjoy contributing to. And then, like you said, just showing up to the meetings. And if you miss them, they're asynchronous. Like you can read them.
Well, you do a good example. Like the documentation team has documents, but it has help hub around the whole way. So these teams have sub teams in them, and core themes also has the default theme. Core has components, which are basically subsections of every single thing you see in core, which is the main product. So there's so much, and core doesn't just mean code, but really just turn up to any one of those meetings and go, hi, is a good place to start. There is also a mentorship program, but that's very much for individuals contributing.
I also love the point that you made about just showing what you're doing. That's something I'm looking forward and hoping that we have more showcase days. And I'd love for people to just be sharing, hey, here's something cool I built. Like that's it's helpful, it's inspiring, and that's the energy that I want to see more of in the space.
That's also a contribution. If you're a small company and a startup and you're still in like the growth stage and you have not got any of this stuff that you can do, like, and you're just doing your own contribution and you're just doing like able to do a couple of hours a month, awesome, you're great. Get on Twitch and demonstrate what you're building and try and build as openly as possible. I do have deepest respect for people, and share the awesome stuff you're building. I want to see more people sharing. We have a lot of DevRels who are full-time sponsors who are sharing, but we don't seem to share what we're building and creating. Twitch, YouTube, choose your own adventure and just start like getting excited and sharing it. And I want to see what people are building as well.
Excellent. Well, if Tammy, if folks want to reach out to you, what's the best way for them to do that?
It is Karmatose on all the things.
And it feels weird to say Sir Jonathan. It's a username I've had since I was a kid. And I'm just kind of stuck
same. I have the same problem.
Anyway, thanks for chatting, Tammy.
Thanks.